Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMA Career and Verrill-Law.com. Our guest today is Todd Wilson. He is the president of Wilson Consulting, and he is also the author of the amazing book, Next Stage in Your Retirement, Create a Life You Want. Tom, I want to retire now, right now, today, this instant. Can that be done?
It can.
Okay, I'm ready.
In fact, I really wish you will. It's going to be an amazing time of your life.
Well, you know what? I'm all for it. Debbie, you're taking over. Goodbye. I'm out. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, Debbie.
You know, as the audience knows, we work very hard in the HR world. Hey, business leaders that are out there, we work really hard. We work our 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 plus hours a week. We work hard all of our lives. We try to save money. We try to be prepared. Tell me what you have found in terms of the research that you put in for this book, and we're certainly going to talk a lot about that. What is the biggest challenge that people face once they even consider this concept?
The book addressed sort of five critical questions that I found when I was doing my research and entering this stage myself, as I read a lot of books and did a lot of study and whatever. There were some themes that kept coming back over and over and over. I started interviewing people. Same teams were coming back. And each person has a little different spin on it. But if I was to say the ones that people worry about the most, one is what am I going to do with my time? And so they have some ideas that they are excited about, but they're also fearful that they're going to be sort of stuck and bored. Tuesday afternoon, everybody's gone off to work, and you're like, doing what? So how one spends their time is an interesting question because it goes a lot to one's sense of purpose. Second area that people worry about is money, and am I going to have enough money? So there's some concerns about how do I think about that. And the third is health. Like, how do I stay healthy? Healthy now and generally healthy, but it's a little tougher to get up in the morning. It's a little tougher recovering from whatever active activity one does. And so health is a big issue that people would find. And I guess perhaps another area that comes somewhere related to the first is, so what do I say to somebody when they say, so what do you do now? And that word retirement gets sort of stuck in people's throat. And part of the challenge you face as you enter this, both consider it and enter it, is how am I going to address each of those issues?
Well, you know, so let's take a step back, as you're correct in this case, is that those are all very important questions. But, you know, have you found that people say, is there a right time to retire? I mean, time is an interesting question. You know, I mean, I know people that have retired in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I know people who are 85 still working hard, 90. Right? I mean, again, you know, their bodies, they want to. They say it keeps their mind going. On the other hand, I also know people that are retired at 50 or 45 and are amazingly happy, right, in terms of what they're doing. So both sides of that. So have you found that there's any specific answer to that question?
Well, the way to look at it is not say retirement means that I'm going to basically eat bonbons and sit on the beach. Or go play golf every day.
Can I do that? Can I eat bonbons on the beach every day? Just asking. It's fine.
Sorry, you can. If you choose to do that. The perspective that I found really helpful as I've talked to people in my own experience is that look at this as a stage in which you're really no longer obligated to a boss, to an organization, or to, you know, probably your kids are now have done, gone out of their house, although you're never finished raising children. But this notion that says, I used to have a boss, and now I really don't anymore. And in fact, I'm the boss. So is there a time that's right for people? It all depends on how you look at the rest of your life. At a point in time when you want to take command of your life and you want to sort of say what I'm going to do with that time, because there will be a time when you just won't be able to get around. I call it in my book, I talk about 10 stages of life. This particular stage we're talking about today is I call the reinventing of adulthood, because that's really what it's about. We're finished our work life, essentially, and although we may still work, but the career goals and your career aspirations are now really, they're kind of in your background. And so now I want to look at what I want to do for the next 20 or maybe 30 years before I reach a point where I frankly won't be able to get around. I'll just be more limited. My world and life could be just fine and be, you know, lots of joy, but you physically not be able to get around. But we're not there yet. And so you have some time, if you think about it, and what are you going to do during that period of time? It's a gift, if you think about it. It's a wonderful gift in the sense that you can choose to continue to work. You could choose to travel. You could choose any number of things that are your passions. And that's part of the challenge, is that using this opportunity to do something which will enrich you, because if you think about it, this is the first time almost in history that this number of people are approaching this time of their life and have that freedom to be able to do what they want. The question is, you make good choices, because the problem is that, you know, frankly, time is not on your side. You're closer to the end of the journey than you are to the beginning. So there should be some sense of urgency to make some good decisions about how you want to live the next period of time, because, frankly, now you can.
And again, we're talking with Tom Wilson, and he has a book, Next Stage in Your Retirement, Create the Life You Want. You know, you obviously are a nationally recognized author and consultant, and you know, you're somebody who goes out and talks about this a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny when people talk about retirement, they all seem to want to do it. But
right.
I think you mentioned, and it's very important, is the fact that, can I afford to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And those choices that you make during your working career can really have a huge impact on that, correct? And though I do suspect sometimes people think they need more than they need, what's your take on that?
Well, that's a great question, and you're absolutely right. People sometimes worry about their livelihood, and yet they're worth millions, and it seems rather bizarre, but some people worry about that. And this is one of these really tricky parts that says you probably can live on your means. There's clearly a large part of our population that can't, that probably have less than $10,000 in savings. There's lots of statistics about that. And it's probably like 40-50% have less than $100,000 in their retirement, and they're approaching this age. So the question really is, for the other side, with people who have some level of means, you know, how do you think about how I'm going to use those dollars in a way that's going to be most helpful? So the decisions about what you do and how you do it and where you live and all those things really are also part of a decision about what are your financial resources. One of the things that I ask people to do in the book is to look at your expenses from the point of view of what's fixed expenses, what are variable expenses, and what are semi-variable expenses. I mean, groceries, for example, you can adjust it, but you can't eliminate it because you need food, right? So if you begin looking at that and begin to see, where do I have flexibility? So you look at your expenses, you project what those expenses are likely to be, how much are you likely to see a change in your spending pattern when you sort of leave the work life, which, by the way, in most cases, it's not very much. And then the other side is to look at your income, the income that you used to earn, but maybe going away, or at least replaced by something, or living off your assets, obviously living off of Social Security and other elements. So look at the income side of it. So when one looks at that sort of balance sheet, if you will, the income and the expenses, you want to ask yourself, when I project out to, say, age 100, then what's the prospects of that? Am I facing a significant deficit or a significant surplus, or somewhere in between? So as you look at that, as part of the calculus of thinking about this next stage, where are you on that continuum, and where do you want to be in terms of your livelihood and your peace of mind and your sense of security, and then what changes need to be made in order to be able to get there? And there are a lot of things that, a lot of ideas, that, holding back on security until you get Social Security, until you get 370. You look at ways that you can, do things that will cut back on your fixed expenses or whatever. There are many, many ideas that are out there. And look at that then through the lens of, I don't really need necessarily have as much. I can look at what I really need in terms of living the life I want to live. And to be sort of thoughtful and honest about that will help you to sort of say, money is one part of it, but how I want to live is also going to be an important part of it. And I'll make choices. The important thing about doing that kind of analysis now is that you probably have some flexibility to what you may do or not do. You may want to continue to work or continue to work in a different kind of situation. But then as you look at it, you begin to say, I think that I'm going to make my adjustments now, because what you don't want to find is at some point in time when you run out of gas or run out of, you actually start facing a more of a serious situation, that will be at the time of life when you're least able to handle it.
Yeah, I know you're absolutely right.
That's true. You need to think about it, and it's really important at this stage of one's life because you've got the chances to make those adjustments.
What inspired you to write this book?
Well, that's a great question. People ask me that, so when I hit 60, I was, starting to think about like everybody else, and then as I was approaching 65, as I began to think about it, started reading every book I could get my hands on, and, some of them were quite inspiring, and a lot of them were, frankly, kind of worthless. Most of them focused on one thing or another. They focused on financial planning, or they focused on power of purpose, or they focused on various books on, they looked at the lifestyles of the rich and famous. You looked at various kinds of books that are out there. None of them really tied all the questions, because I would finish one book and I would say, yeah, but what about blah, 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 what about blah, blah. So I was walking with my dog, Ollie, in the woods of Concord, Massachusetts, and which is, by the way, the home, if you think about it, of Louise May Alcott and, Henry David Thoreau and Emerson and all that. And this is the woods where they walked when they in the mid-1800s. And I was, it's an amazing space, because if you walk through there, you can almost hear them talking, because this is the place where Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau would talk about the times, and this is where they would walk. And I was walking with my dog Ollie, and I said, something came to me and said, I can write this book. I've written books before, and most of my books have all been about human resources and compensation and organizations and things like that. That's what my career has been focused on. But I said, this is something that I think might make a contribution to people, might be helpful, to write it for the individual, not write it for the organization. And I just said, yeah, I can do that. And I began to think about what are the questions. And I started interviewing people and collecting research. As a consultant, what you do is, what I always had done in my life, is a client will give me a question, I'll go research the hell out of it and then summarize all this research in something that people can understand and take action on. And that's what I have done all my life. So I said, I'll just do that, because that's what I love doing. But now the focus will be on this next stage of life, because it is so important. And I look at it as a really special and really unique time to craft the life that you want.
So you talk a little bit about your background. It's in human resources. Give me a quick synopsis so people know where you're coming from.
Okay. Well, when I was in college and grad school, I got very interested in how organizations work. This is going back quite a number of years. And I decided at that point in time that I was really interested and would like to focus on HR, and that I thought that would be something that could be really important. And I began in the training development world, did this for a couple of organizations, then got hired by a consulting firm in Boston to lead their consulting and their training development practice. And then I began to develop it more, and I realized at one point that training development and organization development it comes and goes with the trends, you know, of the times. And I needed something a little more stable because I was married, I had kids and mortgage and all that. So I got into compensation, which I felt was like everybody's dissatisfied with their compensation, yet everybody needs it. So I figured that's the place you want to be in the world. Also felt that if I was going to be a general HR person at some point in time, you need that kind of foundation. So I got into doing the compensation and started studying that, working for a consulting firm, the Hay Group, for a number of years, and became the partner and head of the region, the New England region, and just was loving it, what I was doing. But then they were doing some leverage buyout, and I said I was running into my late 30s, and I said, I think I'm going to start my own consulting firm. And I went to work for a smaller consulting firm for a while, and then I got into writing a book. And this was actually my second book. I'd written one when I was with Hay, but this was a book called Innovative Reward Systems. And it's all about how do you think about business in organizations that will then change the way organizations do it. Got into that, started my own consulting firm, because what do you do when you write a book? You start your own consulting firm. And I've built my firm for the last 25 years focused on a very simple concept that really, how do you develop reward systems that really enable people to feel valued for the work that the organization needs them to do? And I've been doing that with hundreds of companies, built a nice team, and been having a lot of fun doing a lot of great work. And then I reached this point in my life, and I said, you know, I'm oriented my career in a different way, still do a little bit of consulting, shifted my business to the people who used to work for me, or not used to, but I used to work for them. They used to work for me. I now work for them, and began to pursue on this particular book. But it's been I speak frequently to HR groups because this is such a unique time. It's such a wonderful time to be in HR. I'm a firm believer that organizations have, most executives get it. They realize the impact that people have on their business, and we got to pay attention to that business, that part of their enterprise. And so I've been engaged in the HR world for almost all of my career and love it. I feel so proud of this industry.
And we're talking with Tom Wilson. He's a author of the new book, Next Stage. We're going to talk more about it in the next section of the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobsinme to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. You know, I got to tell you, we're talking with Tom Wilson, who's the author of the new book, Next Stage in Your Retirement, Create a Life You Want. You know, Tom, one of the things that is interesting, and we know that it is about, what, 10,000 people a day getting ready to retire, or they're retiring at this point, turning 65, and, you know, and certainly people living longer, and we're thinking about these things. But, you know, when you wrote the book, did you say to yourself, you mentioned in the last segment, you're trying to answer a bunch of questions that probably weren't all together in one location. If you could summarize the book, in a very short way, what would you say that the book really gets? What's the essence it gets to?
Well, the purpose of this book is really to ease the life transition that people go through from this point where their life was defined by their work to where their life is defined by what they do and what they choose to do. And so it's an opportunity for that transition from that more structured to a to-be-determined life in terms of the questions you need to deal with, the information you need to make those kinds of decisions. The book has, you know, checklists and research summaries and websites and plus a lot of content and lots of stories from people who were interviewed for this. And it's really intended to really provide this kind of summary of research to give people helpful stories and to address the core questions that enable somebody to make that transition so that, in fact, they can create the life they want. As you said earlier, before it's too late, because this is that unique time, and it's really important to make good choices.
Well, and good choices are just that, choices. And choice is subjective, of course, as you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I hear when people talk about it, whether it's an executive or an HR person, is that I want to really look at what's going on and what am I going to do. Right? What am I really going to do? I think the question of money is obvious, and I'm so we'll accept the fact that you need X amount of dollars to live, okay? And that you need a certain income level to be able to make that work. And as you said, some have that easily, some don't have it, and some will be working till whenever. But what am I going to do of all that time? Because as you said, there's only so many golf games you can play. There's only so many games of cribbage. There's only so many people that you can annoy. And your wife's going to throw you or husband's going to throw you out at some point because, you know, you've put up with them for just about as much as they can take because you've been gone all that time. And I kiddingly say that, but there's some truth to that. So how do you address that time factor?
Well, there was one of the lessons that I got from doing this research is this old saying. I love old sayings. I search them out whenever I can. I've got lots of quotes. If I don't find a good one, I'll make one up. And the one old saying I made up for this book is that actually happiness comes from pursuing meaning, but meaning does not come from pursuing happiness. Let me say it again. So meaning, that happiness really comes from pursuing those things that give you meaning. But meaning doesn't always come when you're trying to pursue the things that just make you happy. So therefore, the question is, how do I find those things that are meaningful to me? One of the exercises that I have people do and have done when I've done this work as workshops and different presentations is ask people to think of a time, not just one time, maybe three or four or five times when you were in your element. I mean, David, think of a time when you were excited about what you were doing. I mean, World War III could come and go. You know, the sun would set. You wouldn't pay attention to it. You were loving what you were doing. You finished that activity, whatever it was, and you felt engaged and energized and felt really good about it. There's lots of research about what that does in terms of tapping into your sense of what's important to you and meaningful. And then don't just look at one of those, but look at four or five or six. And as you look at those things, there's a theme. There are themes that actually evolve. Perhaps it's working with people. Perhaps it is doing something around social justice or social causes. Perhaps it is something that's refining your skill. It's using your creativity. It's using your capacity to solve complex problems. It's you know, any number of combination of things. You want to look at several themes. And what that tells you is that those are the things where you actually find meaning in your life. You may ask yourself why are those particular things, and that's really important as well. But it will help you to begin to identify those things that, you know, if you talk about that, is that golf game or working in the woodshed or whatever it is you're interested in, there's something about that really gets you going, that it gets you excited. So look at what those elements are. Another thing I ask people to do is to look at the things that, what are your unique abilities? And each person has abilities that created who they are. And perhaps if you put those things together, the things that you're really good at with the things that you love doing, Imagine that you could spend your life doing that, the next 10 years of your life doing those things in different settings, in different situations. And so the question then becomes, how do I find and create those opportunities where I can really do those things and do them well and do them in a way that really provides a richness and meaning? And there are many examples. I gave you a quick example of one of the people I interviewed with. One of the things I talk about is the your image. How do you want to describe your sense of identity? So a woman who is a friend of mine, or a former friend of mine, and she came up to me. She said, I read your book. I got so excited. I know who I am. And I said, great. Who are you? And she said, I'm a food philanthropist. I said, wonderful. What is a food philanthropist? And she said, well, you know, I love cooking. I love to make things, bake things. I get my creative juices by preparing incredible meals. But my husband can't eat that much. And so I realized that I create all this food. I'm going to give it away. And now she has found places that will take individual meals to individuals, or take meals to individuals that need them, you know, every couple of days or every few weeks. And so she has found these outlets to use for giving away the creative food that she makes.
It's very clever. Very clever, right?
Yeah. And you know what was interesting about that is that when I talk about the identity side of the books, I said you need like a brand for yourself. It's always helpful to kind of have an idea of who you are and have some way you describe who you are. And that is kind of replaced. I used to be a such and such, and now I'm a this and that. So the this and that is what is a nice phrase that is honest, and it's intriguing. It causes the person to say, that's cool. What's that? Explain it to me. Tell me more about it. And then you've got something really cool, got a good brand for yourself and a good new sense of identity in this new world.
We're talking with Tom Wilson. He's the author of Next Stage, In Your Retirement, Create the Life You Want. Tom, when you were writing the book, did you have a surprise when you were interviewing people? Was there something that just stuck out at you that said, wow, I didn't expect that response?
I did, and you know, it was subtle. And that I've had interviewed about 30 people, an hour and a half. I recorded the interviews, took some notes. Each person it had like a, almost call it a Zen experience, if you will. They start off with struggling and, you know, wondering or whatever. As we talked, we went through this discussion about, you know, we talked about how they're spending their time and what they want to do and their financial situation and their relationships, things that are really important relationships. What do they do about their health? What do they do about their sense of identity? And are they changing their lifestyle, et cetera? Those are the areas we've talked about. And each person had a way of finding a resolution to an issue that there was, and they talked about the time when they were struggling with something, and then something happened, and it resolved itself, and they found a resolution. One of the famous quotes that I use in this book, and by Henry Thoreau, as I am a great fan of Thoreau, since I'm, you know, from Concord, Massachusetts, and it says that, you know, life is not something to be found, but I'm paraphrasing a bit, but life is that which needs to be created. And so he talks about that's why I use that particular phrase in the title. And I found that every person I talked to, in some element, had some things that were uncertain now, but there were some things that they had created for themselves that created a resolution. And I thought, if there's a message here, is as one searches for things, it's you'll find it in probably strange and unusual places. An experience, something they read, something they talk to someone about, they gain an insight that says, that's the answer that I was looking for. And it's, and I guess I found almost every person I talked to had that experience. Each person entered this stage a little bit afraid and a little bit excited. It's because most people are kind of both. Some are more than others. And that notion of excitement and fear, you know, as you know, that's all generated the same part of the brain, the activity that where that particular particular emotion emanates is very similar. So the question is the perspective. And so people started with a point of fear and found that, that in that fear is the things that they love doing. There's something exciting about that element. And to a person I talked to, and that as I got to, you know, person 12 and person 13, I start to see that this pattern of creating sort of personal insight was really, really present for people. And there are those who were not far along as others, you know, we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
You know, you talk about brand, right, Tom? We're talking about your book, by the way, Next Stage. A person's identity or brand is very important to them. And work is typically a very large piece of that and of their personality, right? And remember a individual saying to me as they were getting ready for their retirement, they said, you know, the biggest fear I have is that when I leave and I'm no longer doing what I'm doing, nobody's asking me questions. Nobody's, you know, there's no purpose, I guess, is what they phrased it. And, you know, as you did the research, what was the maybe the big takeaway in terms of how to deal with that feeling of belonging?
That's a great question. And it takes, you know, we could spend a couple of hours on this one because there are so many pathways people have taken to define what it is. This book is really written for people, I'll say, between sort of 55 and 75. People at 55, this whole notion about retirement starts to pop into their brain. And then at age 60, it's a little more present and it's a little bit, you know, bigger in pot than when they were 5 years earlier. But people on the other side of it at 75 have got it down. They got it figured out. And not always. Sometimes it goes into 80. Sometimes it resolves at, you know, 67. But there's this arc, if you will, that people go through at this time as they do this sort of transition to sort of a different stage of life. The thing that people found important was that the sense of urgency, that maybe this is a time when I need to do some things I've always wanted to do but never had the time to do. And I have to look at reasons why I never chose to do that, but this is a time to do those things. Because, in fact, there'll be a point in time when I won't be able to do that. That some people needed to repair some things that need repairing. One of the guys that was in one of my workshops said his sister lives a mile from him, and he hasn't seen her in 10 years. Now, I was shocked by that, but we talked a lot about in our time that relationships is a very important determinant of longevity and of health. And he realized that relationship with his sister is going to take some work to rebuild that because clearly there's a reason why he didn't do that. But he said to himself, that's important in my life. And so point I'm making to answer your question is that people find things as they look at these various topics that it needs to get resolved for them. And it's important to resolve it at this time because it's only going to get harder to resolve it at some point in time. And, you know, let's do that trip around the world, or let's, you know, do the trip across the country, or let me talk to my kids, because when I talk to my kids, I realize how far they are from me, and I need to rebuild my relationship with my children. One person said that to me, and I thought, that's powerful. So there are priorities that people then establish themselves as they go through this process, and that's really important to be done. To look at what they are and to find a way to come at it in a way that creates that sense of fulfillment and a sense of confidence in who I am and what I'm about. And, you know, one of the things that was, there was a study done at the University of Michigan, University of Wisconsin, rather. It's called the Midas Project, and there are a number of elements that they looked at about what leads to happiness, a fulfilled life, and a longer life. And one of those things is that I no longer need approval from anybody else, that I'm clear about my strengths and my weaknesses, and I'm okay with them. and I don't need to do anything that approves any. I don't have to work for anybody else's approval, and now I can do what I think is really important for me.
Well, you know, it is the priorities have changed, right? And that's that acceptance, of course, of those priorities changing. Well, we're talking with Tom Wilson. He is the author of the book, Next Stage in Your Retirement. Create the life you want. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsinME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsinME.com. That's JobsinME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. Did you know that with the Loan a Tool program at AutoZone, you can borrow a specialty tool with no purchase necessary? Choose from over 100 tools to help you get the job done right, no matter how big or small. And right now, get 5.25 ounces of Lucas Complete Field Treatment for $4.99 each, or two for $8. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide, and let's get you what you need. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone. Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-law.com. You know, today we're talking with the one, the only, Tom Wilson. He has a book, and we highly encourage, by the way, that you go out and purchase it. If you don't have it, you should absolutely go to hrpowerhour.com. You'll see after the show, Tom will be there. His picture will be there. That's just a stunning part of the first thing you're going to notice, Tom. And then you're going to notice the book cover, Next Stage book cover. Please make sure you click on that. And I am sure that you will find a place somewhere, right, Tom, that they can buy it. Where might they find this book?
Well, obviously Amazon and, you know, any of the bookstores, or you can go to my website, which is at mynextstage.org, and they can click through and get it there as well. One of the things that's interesting is that when I have talked to people in their 30s and 40s, I said they tell me, this is great. I'm so excited. I'm so glad this book. I'm really excited about it. And I was thinking, wait a minute, this is not for you. And I would say, really? And they would say, oh, it's not for me. I'm fine. My dad, I need to get this for my father because he's having trouble. And I said, well, what about your mom? She said, oh, she's fine. My dad is having trouble.
Yeah, you know, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how that goes?
It happens so many times. I just make it into a joke because it's so funny. And there is some dynamic here about men versus women in terms of their stages of this, how they enter this stage. Men seem to have a little bit more difficulty. You could guess why.
As a male, I'm questioning that because I'm ready, but what would be the reason?
Wait.
I've been also married 31 years together with my wife 36, and I'd have to be home a lot more.
There you go.
It just took me a second to think about that for a second.
There you go.
Matter of fact, my wife tells me all the time, when you retire, I'm going to work.
Yeah.
And I respond with the typical response, I'm retiring today then. typically that doesn't go over well, but at least I gave it my my shot.
Bad shot. That's right. That's right. Well, one of the things I found, this is you talked earlier about interesting insights. One of the research studies was about in relationships, because I talked a lot about earlier about relationships is really been shown to be a pivotal factor in somebody's longevity and the wellness and how happy they are as they get older. But it's different for men or women. For men who are in a primary relationship live longer and live happier than men who are not, which is kind of an interesting thought. But that's not true for women. That was not a differentiating factor when the people did the research. For women, if they have a core group of sisters that are other women who are like they talk to, every day or every week, and they're like a core group of sisters, those women live happier and healthier. Not whether they were married or not was not a factor, but having that core group of sisters was a influencing determinant for their longevity and happiness.
Well, that's interesting. And I guess there is some truth to that. I mean, men and women are different. I know in HR we're taught that everybody's equal, but in reality, the truth is that there are just honest differences, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's actually we should celebrate the diversity.
What was interesting when I was asking some people about that, people I interviewed, I said, "What do you think about that?" And one woman said, "Of course, this is the way it works. So if my friend guy living by himself discovers a bump somewhere, he basically says, okay, whatever, I'll get over it, kind of thing. He is living with another person, a spouse. That spouse says, what is that? I'm taking you to the doctor, kind of thing.
Yeah.
If a woman has a bump and discovers it, the husband says, maybe you should have a doctor look at it. If she tells her sister friends about it, they will take her to the doctor that afternoon.
That's right. I mean, it's very true.
And that dynamic is part of the interesting parts of what I'm curious about. As more and more women are in really senior executive roles, and their identities and their careers tied up around their identity, what happens with them? Do they tend to have the same characteristics, or have they had enough diversity in their careers that this next stage is just another stage? They've had other stages in their life. This is now a different stage. Men, has not tended to be the case historically, but as men now have different roles in society and develop different kinds of career patterns, I wonder if this issue will be existing for our kids when they get to this particular stage.
No, that's very interesting. One of the quotes you have in the book is from Tom Rush, and it says, you grow old when you replace hope with regret. Do you find that is a motivator to people who are thinking about retiring? I regret I didn't do this, or I regret it, I need to hurry up and get that done. Or how does that play out in that role? Again, we're talking with Tom Wilson, his book, Next Stage.
That's one of my favorite quotes, and I love Tom Raj. I've seen him many times. He lives in New Hampshire. I mean, I've met him a couple of times. I tried to get him to write a testimonial for the book. He says he doesn't do that kind of thing, but he was like blown away by my interest in his work. David, you actually touched in on something that is really critical. When I give presentations, I'll say that phrase. I'll say, is the whole notion of hope versus regret, and that you grow older when you replace hope with regret. And just let that sink in a second. Then you say it again. And so the challenge that we have at this stage, while there will be some who regret that they never got that big job, they never got that big win, they never got that big whatever, at some point in time, if they allow that level of regret to cast a sort of shadow on one's next stage of their life and always work at wish I hadn't done that or wish or whatever, then it will create a level of a negativism that will affect somebody's health and ultimately his longevity. So our challenge is how do we keep hope alive? Because that's what's in part in that. So that goes back to finding those things that you really love doing, that's going to be exciting and engaging for you, that actually gives you a sense of hope and gives you a sense of accomplishment, sense of feeling really like what I'm doing really matters, even if it's only me. I'm a dilettante. I have a garden and I do whatever, but it's what you've chosen for yourself. And I think that's important thing to keep hope alive.
No, I absolutely think you do. And again, we're talking with Tom Wilson, his book, Next Stage in Your Retirement, Create the Life You Want. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOP 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Barrel-Law.com. Our guest today has been Tom Wilson. He's the author of Next Stage in Your Retirement, Create the Life You Want. And Tom, I really appreciate you being our guest today. It's been a great topic, great discussion. I can't wait to get the signed copy of your book, which I'm sure will be sent shortly. Yes,
shortly.
No question about that. Because in all kidding aside, I think that it is a very important question for people, and there are so many waiting to be in this position. And if, you know, when I've talked about and looked online about this book, I really thought to myself, that is really a brilliant conversation piece in terms of people really having that dialogue prior to, you know, 50, 55 in that range. To be prepared. And I think that's critical. So as I wrap up the show today, the big question, why should somebody go out and really buy this book? What should be the impetus for them to do so?
Well, I'm going to, since your audience is HR people, I'm going to answer this from two perspectives. One is, if an organization is going through early retirement programs and they're trying to really move people who are in their 60s out, you can talk to them about their compensation, their benefits, and other kinds of things, and what to do with retirement plans. It might be helpful for them to have something more, something that will actually give a person who's on the end some guidance as to what they want to do and give them a little. It'll help them to make the right choice about when it is the time for them to go, because people sometimes need a little stimulus. It's not just about, you know, your healthcare benefits, but it's about the other elements of your life, and that's what we'll address. To lead me to the second point, which is, you know, I want this book, my wish is that it really is a treasure resource for people, that it gives them a new sense or a renewed sense of direction and confidence and real excitement to make the changes that they want to make in their life. And that I want them to see this as a book they can come back to. It has stories. It has worksheets. It's got checklists. It's got lots of summary, lots of researchy stuff. But it also tells a story, and it shares lots of stories of people who've been successful and people who've struggled with this time in their life. So I look to see that that this would be something that people could use, because, you know, as I look at, I could read a bunch of books of this stuff, or I could pick up one book that actually puts the synopsis together and gives me a pathway to how to think about addressing the fundamental questions that I'll be addressing and that people will be needing to deal with. It's really captured in the title, and it says it's really in this retirement, in this next stage of our life, how do we really create the life that we want? And that's what's important. And I leave it with a statement that one of the quotes I start with is a quote by Mark Twain. It says, you know, 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the things you did do. And he says, throw off your bow lines, sail away in a safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. That's what it's all about.
Tom, I really appreciate you taking the time today to be on the show. I think that this is a
solid
book for somebody to go out and read. And again, people can go to hrpowerhour.com right after the show. You can re-listen to the show, podcast it, send to a friend, make sure that you know, you all know somebody who's getting ready to think about retirement. And I think this is a great show and great book to have people look at. Again, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, David. Thank you. It was a great conversation and really enjoy your program. You have a great show there.
Well, thank you so much. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOP. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Are you asking appropriate questions in job interviews? Hi, I'm Liz Johnston from Verrill. At some point, you might be tasked with interviewing a job applicant, and it's important to be mindful of what is appropriate and not so appropriate to ask a potential candidate. You already know that when hiring an employee, it's illegal to discriminate against someone on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, or other protected traits under state and local law. Accordingly, it's important to avoid asking questions that may indirectly relate to these traits as well. For example, while you should not ask somebody if they have or expect to have children, which implicates sex and family status, it is appropriate to ask whether an employee will be able to meet the scheduling demands of a position. Additionally, even a simple question like asking someone where are they from may lead to information about the candidate's race or national origin. Careful questions can help avoid a discrimination suit down the line. Contact a member of Verrill's Employment and Labor Group to discuss further.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.